Welcome to the Alex of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are diving into another set of running back tiers here, discussing the two-year window guys, starters on first contract. So you got Dobbins, Jacobs, Swift, Gibson, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and Akers. I think you could sort of go a couple of different routes sort of examining this. Obviously, you've got Dobbins out for the season. But is trending back. The market's pretty receptive to him, would be one thing that I would say. Running back 8 at keep trade cut, for example, which is, I think, an interesting early indicator of how the market is receiving him. It's a good situation. I find fascinating a couple of stats from him from 2020. One of the league leaders in rushing yards over expectation. I will say I trust that stat less and less just because it's awfully correlated between teammates. And there's not a huge sample size on it, but that strikes me as wrong. And especially like we keep seeing Baltimore guys pop up there. Again, that strikes me as wrong. It strikes me as perhaps correlated to Lamar Jackson in ways that we don't necessarily understand the formula. So I'm backing away from that as maybe a good indicator. I think there's other data that might be better. I'm sort of stepping back on the rushing yards over expectation as an indicator of skill per se. When we saw him last, 14.5 routes per game, that was 33rd at the position. This year they were really heavy in terms of passing, 46.8 dropbacks per game. That actually led the league. I don't think many people would think that about Baltimore, but I think that's interesting. However, 29th in terms of running back routes run per game, running back routes run per dropback. So this is it became a much heavier passing attack. It has not really ever been a running back centric passing attack. So it's Andrews, it's the receivers, it's minimally, it's very minimally the running back. So that gives me some pause about his ceiling. When we sort of compare him to a guy like Josh Jacobs, for example, again, I sound like the crazy guy sort of yelling at clouds. Two top 12 finishes his career, top 24. He's 15th in routes per game at 19.8, 10th in targets per game at 4.3, forces a missed tackle once every 3.8 carries. That is good for fourth best amongst running backs with greater than 50 carries. They were 29th in run blocking last year. His PFF grade was 11th with running backs greater than 50 carries. So, you see it coming from both angles, right? He's a pretty good pass catcher and a pretty good runner. What we haven't seen is sort of him put together like the upside of both scenarios. And that would be like, hey, let's put together 15 touchdowns in a season you get targeted 4.3 times per game, right? Like do them both. Right. And I've been trying to notice some patterns. I think that that's one of them. And look for the Fournette thing, right? The Fournette thing is, hey, you can sort of do both, but you haven't really put it fully together yet. You haven't sort of maximized all of it. He's the clearest to that, right? We sort of look at patterns like, you know, about other positions and see sort of, hey, like this really looks like this other player, like this might be a value opportunity. I think a Josh Jacobs like mega season is fully in his range of outcomes. It's just a matter of things kind of coming together. Hey, listen, a better offensive line performance. And we might be having an entirely different discussion. So that's sort of my thought there. Again, I think it's a high floor situation. If I had any pause, it's the change in coaching staff. But 15.3 points per game, just slightly under expectation. Top 5 at the position receiving. Like again, that's a very. There's a lot of outs there, right? There's a lot of outs, and I know that Drake will probably be back, but I'll be really curious to see sort of how this offense looks. I think that all told, I think Jacobs actually took a step up in terms of skill this year. And maybe it doesn't per se look like he got mega better from fantasy production, but I think a lot of that's a lack of the touchdowns for him. Expected for 7.9, scored 9. So he did over, he scored over expectation. But when you look back to other years, it doesn't match the same scoring level. Again, I think people, for reasons that are psychological, and some of the biases that we have, I think that people don't respect that, which is fine. It's great. It makes him cheaper. I mean, running back 19. I'm not sure how Dobbins is better. Right? I don't know how Dobbins is better. I mean, you look last year, Jacobs had 12 touchdowns, right? It was expected for 12.5. So he comes down, enough for that to be, that ends up being a difference of about 3 on the season. And, that does bring down his number a little bit in terms of points scored ultimately. So about, a little over a point or so a game, a difference there. So, and on top of that, the rushing ceiling wasn't there. 29th in run blocking, if that got a little bit better, I think that there's more opportunity there. So, all that's to say, and we're going to do a team review of some of the run pass splits and that sort of thing for teams that have changed landscapes or changed coaching staffs, and that's going to be one to look for, because I'll be really interested to see if it's a run centric approach like they have implemented and did implement with Cam, and then some of the stuff with Mac. It looked a little bit different, but I'm really interested to see sort of how their team looks. So all said, I think Jacobs is a really good running back because he has a lot of outs. And I think this was sneakily one of his better skill-based years. Yeah, if he gets some positive puck luck, look out. I think he's got a Fournette type high-end, top 5 points per game type finish in his range of outcomes. And I'll say this about him, too. When you look at the rest of these guys, there's either passing or rushing questions. Again, is Josh Jacobs the most talented running back in the league? No. Does he do anything at the most exceptional level? No. Does he do everything at a real, at a very functional level or above average level? Yeah. And that's a lot. He's actually in that way a better version of Fournette. Right. So again, if you sort of look at these things, that those stories are very similar to me. So just bear that in mind. Swift, running back 3 in terms of keep, trade, cut, way up there. Forces a missed tackle once every 8.9 carries. That is 63rd out of 77 running backs with greater than 58 carries. He was 2nd in terms of targets per game at 5.9. 5th in terms of routes per game at 24.6. Again, very, very pass-centric and has struggled as a running back. I know that was something that Matt Waldman actually has talked about, is his struggles as a running back. That kind of pops up here in terms of some of his work. He's targeted on 23.8% of his routes. So again, very healthy involvement in the passing game. It's high level too. It's 1.41 yards per route run, 77th percentile, 1.49 expected yards per route run, 79th percentile. So really good there across the board. I think it will be interested to see, again, they have a changing OC. So that's something that I think is interesting there with him. They led the league in targets per drop back for running backs as well last year. So, you look at some of these, and I think it's their situation will be interesting in terms of how they ultimately, what type of offensive scheme changes that they have, for example. And they were pretty middle of the road in terms of plays last year. Again, a full healthy season, I think, will be interesting. But again, just keep in mind that they have other guys. And, I know no one wants to give Jamal Williams credit. And I get all that. But listen, he outgraded DeAndre Swift. He basically had he did have more rushing carries, more rushes than DeAndre Swift did. He carried the ball 153 times to 151 times for DeAndre Swift, same amount of games. Forced 7 more missed tackles. Did better after contact. You know, so when you start looking at all these things, like the big difference is he didn't do anything. He didn't break away any runs. Like that's the big difference, but performed very similar in yards per route run basis. So, I mean, all of those things, like is Swift, it gives me a little bit of pause about how good Swift is. Like I thought he was good coming in, but it's a little bit feels like Barkley. In the sense of, hey, like, yeah, it's good. It's nice. But, you know, maybe the situation's not great. You know, it's – but then you look around and it's like, wait a second, he's underperforming or, you know, or performing right about someone that's thought about a lot more cheap, you know, a lot cheaper. I think he's an interesting one to potentially pivot off of. You know, do you pivot? Do you use him to go up to an elite quarterback? Do you cross the bridge at wide receiver? You know, do you use him for an elite tight end and like some tight end premium stuff? Maybe get some picks back, or go 2-for-1 assets, right? Can you pivot? And maybe he's, you know, we'll see once the ADP comes out, and I trust it a little bit more. Is he a core asset or is he a star asset? I think that'll be an interesting sort of. You know, distinction in how we think about his range of outcomes. I question the ultimate ceiling, right? He was a big ceiling guy for me coming out. I am stepping back from that just a bit, just because we don't see the statistical profile that probably suggests the huge rushing production that you would need on top of the passing stuff too. So I know the passing, like the 76 targets, that's really helpful for sure. But I think you really do need both to make a big, big difference. So that's really where I'm at with him. Again, I think he's on a successful track. Is he running back 3? Like that might be a little rich. And I'm probably at that cost not going to be in on a running back anyways. I think he's the one that maybe warrants arbitraging. And hopefully we'll catch him in a new show here coming up soon about, you know, one of the next trade shows. But you sort of think about what you could do to go from him to Dobbins, for example, or from him to, you know, Jacobs is probably an even bigger gap just by the market. I think all of those things are interesting. You know, he and Trey Lance for Mahomes, that's really interesting, right? That's one that I would definitely be interested in exploring, for example. So just sort of keep those things in mind. I do think, like, I think he's good, but I think there's probably ways to pivot off of him. Again, like, would you take Elijah Moore first and a second? No, that wouldn't be how I would do it, right? Again, I'd want to go up. I don't want to lose core assets, right? I want to add to them. That would sort of be my thought with him. But yeah, so I hope that fleshes out the Swift position a little bit. I think he's an interesting player that maybe is a little bit more complicated than the market will give him credit for. Gibson, Antonio Gibson, running back 10 in terms of keep trade cut. I think by any measure, like a success track. I think he's on a success track. However, I do think this is it's an odd circumstance. 1.19 yards per route run. It's like in the 60th percentile, 31st in terms of routes per game at 15.4, 3.3 targets per game, and that's 20th. Forces a missed tackle 6.6, once every 6.6 carries. That is 47th. So as you sort of begin to, look at some of these, again, how does he stick out, right? And he sticks out because he has a good job, right? I think people are sort of optimistic long term about his about the receiving stuff, but he hasn't really, that hasn't come to fruition. And if that hasn't come to fruition for a couple years, like that gives me a lot of pause. Right? That gives me And you look, he's running a route on 38.7% of dropbacks. That's less than Jacobs. That's less than DeAndre Swift. By meaningful amounts on both of those guys. So, again, it's more than Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but Edwards-Helaire did miss time. So, I know they had McKissick. I don't know how this situation is going to get meaningfully better. again, he performs right at about expectation. That's fine. It's good. I just, it's an interesting, it's an interesting sort of lack of ceiling. And I think that if you look at it, it's, I don't know why you would pay running back 10 cost when you could go later at the position and get something very similar, right? That would sort of be my thought on it. So, again, he's fine. I like him, but again, I'm pivoting. I think he's a pivot guy more so than at his cost that he's any sort of target per se. So, and I mean, if you look at some of the trades again, like him and Van Jefferson for Jalen Waddle, that's an interesting one to sort of move up at the position. You know, him and picks for Najee Harris, which I think is an interesting uptick up the position. You know, him and a pick swap from 2022 to 2023 for Saquon Barkley. Antonio Gibson and Michael Thomas in return for Dalvin Cook in a 2022 first. Again, I think it would matter where the first is, but you sort of get the idea. He's actually in a deal for CeeDee Lamb and Kareem Hunt, right? I think that's interesting from a positional pivot perspective. You know, so I don't love doing those running back to wide receiver moves to sort of project longevity, but I think as an asset, Lamb's probably more valuable and durable. So that would sort of be my thought there. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is, I think he's confounding. You know, you look and you took him at 101 ahead of Barkley ahead of Jonathan Taylor or whatnot. And that's like, just an absolute devastating loss, right? That's a bad one. And I struggled with him. And again, I don't like, this could be one of those situations where it might not necessarily work out for, you know, we spend so much time worrying about it. Then you get running backs, you know, you get what, four or five running backs in the second round that year. You know, one of them gets hurt, a couple of them disappoint, a couple of them are pretty good, one of them's a star, right? That's kind of how some of these things turn out when you get like four or five of them in good ranges. It's kind of like the top 10 quarterbacks or the quarterbacks from last year. You sort of see some of these things. That's kind of what we're feeling about that class. And honestly, Edwards-Helaire feels like one of the disappointments for sure. And I struggled a lot with, hey, you know, I think I like Dobbins better than him. I think I like Swift. I think I like Akers better than him. But then I sort of came back to base rates and I was like, am I really going to go that way? Like, is that the, should you, you can't really do that, you know? And so I sort of went back and forth a little bit. I ended up putting him like right behind, I think it was behind Taylor, I guess maybe behind Swift too. I can't remember exactly, but I know I put him, I didn't bury him behind everybody because I said I just can't do that base rates wise. I put him like in the middle or something there, maybe one or two guys ahead of him from the second round. So again, I was below market, but I think I've been above market kind of in the sense. Hey, the numbers aren't great. They're just not. 0.72 yards per route run. I think your saving grace there is it's 0.60 expected yards per route run. So he's actually well above it. You can say, okay, that's good. He's like 20% above his yards, expected yards per route run. His points per route run, though, is 0.25. That's really not good. Only 23.6% of his dropbacks, of their dropbacks he was running around on. Again, he missed time with injury, but even when he has played, it has been some of it's been stolen by other guys. He forces a missed tackle once every 7.9 carries. That's 60th out of 70 qualifiers. So he does have a top 24 seasonal finish. When you get a couple years in and don't have a top 12, so he's got a top 24. When you get a couple years in and don't have a top 12, like that sort of fritters away from your profile. So that's a pause that I have in terms of ceiling for him. Again, I think he's probably at the cost of in the 20s. I think he's probably worth the investment. You know, would I take a – man, it feels tough to want to give like a – to be in like the second round range of – of rookie running backs for him. Like that feels crazy. That's fits about right where keep trade cut has him, sort of in the early to mid second round running back pick range. Every bone in my body says you take that profile at that cost. That said, like, there's a lot of things here that make you go, ugh, you know. So I think you're in kind of a not great situation with him, and I think we recognize that. My situation would be like, I think you take, like, you just kind of close your eyes, you plug your nose, and you pay like a, if you could pay like an early to mid second for him, like, you'd do it. Right? I think you just have to. Do I want to pay a future first? That might be put to a better use other ways. I might like the flexibility of that better than I do maybe locking it into what could otherwise be a declining asset. So that would sort of be the way I would think about it. Again, if you could take a pot shot, mid to late second, I really like that, because I don't think you're going to get that shot there. However, you have to kind of realize that I think the miss by the market was, and I think that this is something that we're going to get really good at, because I'm not going to make these mistakes. And I think I've identified some places where these mistakes have happened, which is, and maybe to a degree it was actually in Baltimore as well, but I think we overstate how good a situation is for running backs. And that was one that, you look at his, right, his expected yards per route run is 0.60. That's horrendous. He's targeted on 12% of his routes. Like, that's horrendous. That's not the sign of a good situation, right? That's not a sign of a situation that's going to elevate, right? The situation that you really want a rookie running back to go into. Absolutely not. And so I think looking at some of these stats and like these things will make us better, because there will be clear things that we'll see. And I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be, very much in the same way that density came about because we missed on Kenny Galladay, right? Like, very much in those ways, I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire will be a value for us in that way. So it's interesting for him. Again, then you look at his cost, right? 25th at keep trade cut. I look like he's the last guy basically in this range with multiple years of security. And we could say, how secure is that? Well, he's got 2 years on a rookie deal. They're probably going to decline the option, would sort of be my thought. Are they going to replace him? I don't know. I guess there's a possibility, but there's not much downside on it either, right? There's not much downside on taking him, because there's plenty of basically at that point you have year to year guys pretty much. Damian Harris, you could sort of, that is he, he's kind of right there as well. You sort of debate some of those things, but by and large, like, that's really the end of the line for multiple year commitment guys. So I would sort of be my thought, like, I think he's got to be interesting in that range. So that's that. And then the last one we have, and I think we need some more study on Akers. I will say that for sure. I'm interested, like, there's a lot of moving pieces. Is Sony Michel back? Like, what's that sort of look like? And all of those things, I think will sort themselves out in the off season. But when you look at some of the numbers and some of the stats here for Akers, right, it's amazing that he's come back, and I'm going to be totally on board with him coming back, and it being awesome that he's back. The worst PFF grade for a running back rushing this season. 65 snaps on rushing attempts, and then there's 59 attempts, and that's including the postseason. So 2.6 yards per carry. He has a couple fumbles. The forced missed tackles, like, that would be, if I were sort of look at it, like, yeah, that's decent. But outside of that, it gives me some pause, right? It does give me some pause. And we know this stuff with the, with the ankle and all that, like, and I think a, I mean, this is a big cost for a running back that, you know, everyone was sort of out on a while ago, right? Running back 9 feels like a heavy cost to pay right now. Again, I think if you're sort of in the Dobbins Acres range, do you go down and say, hey, I'll take ETN, or I'll take, you know, someone else sort of in that range? Like, do you take, hey, I'll take Derrick Henry or Kamara, right? Or Montgomery plus, like all those guys you could get plus, I think. Or do you even go up further, right? Or try and pivot the age way to Eckler or something like that, right? Use those sorts of things, or add to them and get McCaffrey, right? Which the gap on that isn't quite as big as you would think. I think all of these guys have a questionable ceiling sort of in this range. Again, I think all of them have flaws, right? That's why Jacobs is so interesting to me, because he sort of checks a lot of boxes. And you're like, huh, once you start doing this exercise, it's a really, it begins looking very, very differently. So that's sort of my thought there on him. Again, I think it's a great story as a dynasty piece. I am a little bit, it's a little bit of a dubious situation. And it's like, he's the worst PFF grade by a wide margin, a wide one. 7 points, basically. Like, that is a wide margin. You know, so that's there's pause there, right? The difference between the running back 1 in terms of, you know, in terms of touches and, or in terms of PFF score, and, you know, 7 points from that is like a 10 running back difference, right? I mean, it's a like, he is way on the wrong side of this. So, just sort of keep that in mind, you know, with him going forward, that I do think there is some questions. And the fact that he came back and played might open up a sell window, and I think it has. And I'm probably going to craft ways to – I'm not just bailing, but I'm either trying to add a core piece on top of a pick, or using him to sort of bridge across positions to take an upgrade. So those will be the things that I will do. I think this is largely a tier that you arb. Right. I think this is an ARB tier. You just kind of play between these guys a little bit and see what you can find in terms of some value. And remember, a lot of these profiles end up being random, especially the ones that are close. And do the best that you can to sort of extract the cost, when there's a cost difference there. So. All right, well, that'll do it for this edition. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.